Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday is underway. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman here in studio.
Slightly under the weather, JP Shadrick. That's why you were coughing before we went on the air, and that's why I was
waiting. Everybody's been on me the last 2 days for coughing.
Cough over there.
Last week was sick. I was out of the office.
You still sound sick.
I know, I do, but I feel great.
You look sick.
I look sick most days. We'll get to Tony Baselli coming up. He's out in Denver tonight, Westwood One. He has the call of, I think, the sideline tonight of the Broncos and the Panthers. Jaguars Packers coming up. We just followed the Gus Bradley show. We're live on Jaguars Radio tonight and also live on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. You better put that
I better put this down.
Or Director of Broadcasting Patrick Cavanaugh will have a piece of you.
Sorry, Patrick. It was just an honest error.
So, plenty to get to tonight. Let's start off with Jared Odrick was placed in concussion protocol, hit in the jaw during practice yesterday, left practice. He did speak with the media today, said he's expecting to be good to go this week. You would expect somebody in that situation to say that.
You know, the concussion protocol has changed a little bit. You know, with some of the issues that the league has had where they've missed things, they have now gotten to the point where they're overly cautious. So any time a player has any kind of affliction to head, neck, or shoulder, they get evaluated for concussion. And if it's neck area, jaw area, I think it's almost a standard procedure now that they kind of go into that. And then at that point, then they get evaluated completely.
When I first heard jaw injury as the reason, I told him today in the hallway, I was like, well, that makes sense. It's probably from you talking too much, Jared.
Yeah, he can talk with the best of them.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he can definitely talk with one of the best of them. You know, a lot of people, I think, probably had the misperception that, okay, he has a jaw issue. What did he do, get in a bar fight? No.
No.
Okay, he got hit in the jaw in practice, and it happens.
It does.
You know, because a lot of the players now, and I'm kind of surprised at this. I don't know if you've seen the players of today, the linemen's face mask, you know, going back a few years ago, used to come farther down. And now it seems like, you know, like Telvin Smith is wearing what I would consider like a running back face mask.
Okay.
Okay, the linebacker face mask, even of old, kind of went way down here because you go back to, you know, like a Jack Lambert face mask, you know, big.
Oh, it's like long.
Longer, full type of thing. And the linebackers today, you know, are wearing smaller face masks. And so you actually have more area under the actual face mask that the jaw is exposed to. So I don't know if that's a factor or not, but you know, because Odrick does, if you actually see how he wears his helmet, the face mask and his helmet rides up a little bit higher.
Why would that change? Just a look? Guys over time don't want to have the long mask?
I guess they think it looks better. Maybe. I don't know. You know? But for me, I want the full protection.
Yeah. I think I would, too, if I were playing. I've got to protect this face.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
But, you know, you know, even some of the players, you know, it's amazing in that they try to get away with it's a minimalist game. You know, you look at the defensive backs and the wide receivers. They don't even want to wear 4 ounces of thigh pads or knee pads on game day because they think 4 ounces is going to slow them down. You know, and it's probably the same thought process with the helmet.
Okay, I can see
and
that.
If you add a couple more bars, well, that's another 4 ounces. I might not be able to run as fast.
Aerodynamics and all things.
I mean, there are certain things that are legitimate you want to be a minimalist at. Like as a pass rusher, the smaller your shoulder pads are, the less surface area there is for the offensive lineman to block. You know, so it makes sense that you want to be very small with all the pads. And, I mean, after you go back to when everything was very small, they used to have jerseys that used to have strings where you could tighten them up. Nowadays, they actually make custom tailored jerseys, you know, where, you know, it's amazing. Literally every NFL team now has a seamstress on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And if a player has a jersey, and just use my shirt as an example here, if it has a little flap right there, they will
about like under the
cut
arm,
it out. Yeah. They will cut it out in the seam, mm-hmm. pull it back tight, and then re-sew it so that it's completely form fit.
Mm. You might need to get that done with that polo.
Well, I need to do that.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how, like, if you watch an NFL player try to get out of his shoulder pads or to get into his shoulder pads yeah. with these jerseys that are completely custom fit to their bodies, I mean, it's very difficult for them. A lot of times they have to have one or two people help them with the shoulder pads on or off.
I think I remember this from – and we'll get to Tony Baselli. He'll join us. Actually, let's pull up Tony Baselli from Denver. He might remember this too. I want to say the Cowboys of, like, the early, mid-'90s, Nate Newton wore, like, three or four sizes too small of a jersey. And it was always a process to get it on because he didn't want anybody to grab his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always a thing for
offensive linemen. Well, I mean, back then that was really your only option. A lot of teams did not have
that's right.
you know, seamstresses that were on staff. But nowadays, I mean, they're a part of the equipment staff.
That's
they
right.
come to work every and they custom tailor whatever you need so that you feel the best on game day and you function the best on game day.
Tony Baselli's with us on the line. What's up, Big Bo? Tony, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, boy?
Great, man. Thursday night football, right? The season opener is here.
Yeah, before we get to that, I'm all about small jersey, small pads. Smaller the better.
Yeah, you had those little baby shoulder pads, didn't you?
I wanted the small shoulder pads they'd let me wear.
Well, and Tony, I mean, with an offensive lineman, the amount of contact that actually your shoulder pads absorbed, it really wasn't a lot.
Oh, it's all, I mean, use your hand. It's all you're using. I mean, I'm not going to, I mean, how rarely did I pull and kick somebody out where I'm dropping my shoulder and trying to, you know, move them out? I mean, rarely. And the few times I did, no big deal. It, you know, so I wanted to have freedom of movement, very little surface for a defensive lineman to work off of and grab, and so it gave me the best advantage. So I'd have gone with no shoulder pads if they let me.
We'll get to the game out in Denver coming up a little later, Bo, but let's talk Jaguars-Packers. How small is the margin of error for this Jaguars defense this week? Aaron Rodgers, it is the first game out for them too, but it is an offense that is very well established there. They've got to play almost a perfect game, right, guys?
No, I disagree. I disagree with that.
Okay.
If you go in with that mindset, that's where you get in trouble. Listen, they got a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. But if you go look at their numbers and look at their offense last year, they were average. They were middle of the pack. They were not great. Now, they'll be better this year because, you know, Eddie Lacy's in shape and they couldn't run the ball an inch last year. So they should have a better running game because of Eddie Lacy and the condition that he's in. But offensively, the passing game, I still have a lot of questions. Everyone talks about Jordy Nelson coming back, but he has yet to play a snap in a game since he tore his ACL. They brought him along very, very slow. Now, this is an ACL he injured last camp a year ago, and he still was not able to make the preseason. And so he's going to be on a pitch count, and what you know, it's going to be hot. And without him, I think they're just okay at the receiver position. Now, are they a good offense? Yes. Can they hurt you badly? Yes. Do you need to play smart, sound football, get after Aaron Rodgers? Yes. But I think it's a mistake going in saying we have to play perfect or we're going to lose.
Yeah, here's some numbers for you, JP.
Okay,
to kind of echo what Tony's saying, that you don't have to be perfect, and that Tony talked about their offense last year did not function at a very high level. The Jaguars were actually better than the Packers in these categories.
Mm-hmm.
Points, total offense, passing offense, and third down. The Jaguars were better than the Packers in all those categories at the end of the year last year.
How about that? Wow.
Which you wouldn't think that,
no,
right?
No, who would have thought that? It's a playoff team.
Playoff team from a year ago. But the Jaguars offensively were better than the Packers offensively in those categories. Now, defensively, the Packers were better in most of the categories than the Jaguars were, I think with the exception of rushing defense, where the Jaguars were very stout against the run, but obviously against the pass they struggled without a pass.
That's because everyone threw against us all the time.
Yeah.
So, a little more on Rodgers. He's the type of guy, though, that can – take advantage of any little misstep. An offside, he's going to throw the ball deep, look for a pass interference or a home run ball of some kind. A quick count, if you're running off the field to try to get a substitute in, they'll run to the line. That gamer kind of mentality is what he has. A lot of guys don't have in the league, right?
Well, he's got, as far as Rodgers?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, his number one ability is to buy time and extend plays.
That too.
I mean, to me, that's the thing that makes him the most dangerous, because he's got a great awareness of not of as far as where the defenders are when he's extending the play, and knows the timely fashion that he needs to get it out in. I mean, he's simply tremendous at that. And the coverage is stressed when he extends the play. I mean, game in and game out, when you watch him on film, if you have somebody, and one of the things that, that is real key to not allowing him to extend the play is speed, and you hope that Ngakoue and Dante Fowler can eliminate some of those plays that would have been extended, because the coverage will stress, and you've got a secondary that, you know, you got a couple young players, some new players, you know, and they really haven't played an entire game together, so that's going to be a challenge.
And it's not just one that how he extends the puck, extends the play with his leg. It's his really strong arm. That it's not just, you know, the short dump off pass or even intermediate. Where he hurts you is he extends the play, and in the scramble drill, the way the Packers do it, the way most teams do it, you have one guy come back, one guy work the middle, and then one guy run for the far end zone and just go deep. And often, if you watch on the scramble drill, Aaron Rodgers will launch that thing 50 yards, and that's where they get most of their big plays, after he scrambles.
Yeah, and Jordy Nelson was a big part of that now.
Absolutely.
You know, in years past, last year, Devontae Adams kind of helped fill a little bit of that role, but obviously didn't replace Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb
last year.
No, and Randall Cobb, smaller guy, you know, shifty guy, that's not his role, is to go up and to outcompete a high ball, because Aaron Rodgers loves throwing. If he's got one-on-one and he's got, you know, Jordy Nelson, and he says, okay, he's covered, he's going to trust Jordy Nelson that he can either make the catch number one or ensure that the defender won't make the catch.
Right.
That's how he trusts Jordy Nelson. And he's got a really nice touch on his deep balls. He can be accurate with them.
It's almost a Bortles A-Rob type of thing, right? Or is it quite that trust yet?
Well, no. It's I think it's just as at the same level. Now, is Jordy Nelson like A-Rob? I mean, would you call Jordy Nelson 75-25 like we do with Allen Robinson?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
No, but he's probably fast. He's probably faster. I mean, Jordy Nelson's the guy, I mean, who can stretch the field big time on.
Yeah, but here's the question,
that's what
though,
he's
Tony.
Known for.
Is he faster? You know, he used to be.
I don't know stopwatch faster or not, Jeff, but you know those certain guys that just have that ability, no matter what their speed is, that they just stretch defenses, they play fast. And if you watch Jordy Nelson, he has a knack for getting behind guys. And that's what he did. He was able to win on that one-on-one outside coverage down the field, which opened up everything for Randall Cobb underneath. With that threat gone last year, they struggled.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli's on the phone with us in Denver. We'll come back in a moment and talk a little Jaguars offense. What does Greg Olsen have up his sleeve in week one against the Packers? Single game tickets are sold out for the season opener. There are season ticket packages remaining with Packers game tickets included. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com for more information. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, what's cool about the team is, and I think it's extremely cool for Ole, that he doesn't have to worry about trying to get, you know, A-Rob 5 balls and Hearns 5 balls and JT 5 balls, because they don't really care. I mean, yeah, they want to be successful, be involved, and be playing, but, you know, when we're moving and rolling, everybody's happy and excited to be a part of it. And I think it's cool, you know, for me to be able to go throw and say whether it's, you know, option A or option C, D, or F, they're all extremely good players that can go make plays.
Here's your quarterback, Blake Bortles. Earlier this week, discussing options. It's good to have options. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We're in studio. We're also live on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app, which is free. Download it now if you have it. You can watch us live. Every radio show is now streamed.
So I can watch us?
You can watch us while you're
with the Jaguars
we're
app?
Doing the show. Yeah, you can watch it right now.
Let's see.
On the app. It's free. Tony Baselli's on the phone line with us from, I guess it's still called Sports Authority Field at Mile High. Is that right, Tony?
You know, well, that's a good question. I have no idea, JP. I haven't even looked with the dang place. You know, growing up here in Colorado, I was always known this place as Mile High Stadium. I couldn't even tell you what sponsorship.
Yeah, because Sports Authority, like, went out of business or something, right? But
yeah,
I think they kept
the
name.
Bankrupt.
Yeah, so
Maybe they shouldn't have been sponsoring football fields.
Well, no, that's up to them, I guess. But maybe you should find out the name of the stadium before your broadcast tonight. That'd be a nice
Or topic. Maybe they should have sponsored a better stadium like ours in Jacksonville, because Everbank's doing great.
Everbank's doing a fantastic job, no doubt.
Can we talk about the game tonight? Because Tony's going to be covering it. I want to get his thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's a rematch, right? The Super Bowl rematch. Not, you know, every team's different from year to year, but, you know, they put him, Cam Newton, on the ground 6 times last year for sacks in the Super Bowl. Is it going to be a repeat?
I think it was seven, actually.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I've looked at two different – it's different in different areas where you look. Some people have a 6, some a 7, but no matter what, it was a lot. But you know the interesting thing is? That no one talks about is, you know, the Carolina Panthers sacked Peyton Manning 5 times. The only difference in the game was that Peyton Manning didn't fumble when he got sacked, and Cam Newton did.
True.
I mean, it was 2 sacks deep in the red area, one that went to a direct touchdown by Malik Jackson, another one set up a score, and the difference was 14 points. I mean, the Panthers outgained the Broncos. The Broncos did absolutely nothing on offense. I think they had 40 yards passing and, you know, under 100 yards rushing. I mean, they were 1-for-14 last year on third down and won the game. And it was because of their defense.
Well,
and I just don't think that
they didn't have to do anything on
offense. They're going to be able to dominate the Panthers like that again.
Well, tonight's game, a new quarterback for the Denver Broncos, Trevor Siemian?
Siemian.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, before you go on, I got a stat for you.
Okay.
He is the first Northwestern quarterback. He went to Northwestern. The first Northwestern quarterback to start an opening day game in the NFL since Otto Graham.
No way.
In like 1955 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that.
That's good for
and
him.
He shared time at Northwestern. He wasn't even the permanent starter.
You just discouraged any high school quarterback from ever thinking about going to play at Northwestern.
Pat Fitzgerald hates you now, Tony. Way to go.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you watched the tape on him, and obviously we don't get a chance to watch tape of other teams preseason, but I'm sure you did. What did you think of him?
Well, Jeff, he's a guy. He's athletic. He can spin it pretty well. I mean, he's gonna be able to move, and that's what Gary Kubiak wants to do. You know, he's an inside-outside zone. He's their main play, and they set up the naked bootleg off that play-action pass. Something that he couldn't do much of with Peyton Manning as the quarterback. We saw more of it when Brock Osweiler was it. And I think that's the offense you're going to see. Heavy run, get easy for the young quarterback. But they're playing against one of the best runs in football. And the Panthers have 18 total starters back, almost the entire defense back outside. A couple of rookie corners are starting. But the front seven is pretty much intact. And they are, we saw them firsthand last year. They're very good. They're very stout. Kawan Short had 11 sacks from the 3-technique position last year, and the guards for the Broncos are pretty average at best. And so I think it could be a tough night for a young quarterback with all that pressure up front.
So Gary Kubiak essentially is going to be running the offense that he ran for a number of years with the Houston Texans, essentially. Because
that's right.
You know, now Peyton Manning is gone. He's going to run that offense. The Broncos defensively, they lost some players. Malik Jackson obviously is here. How are they going to replace him? And I also believe they lost a linebacker to the Chicago Bears.
Danny Trevathan.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, they got Jared Crick from the Texans, who is going to, I guess, try to fill Malik Jackson's position here. I don't think that's going to work very well.
No, that's not going to work.
I mean, listen, he's a nice player, but he's not Malik Jackson. And it looks like the guy who's going to start for Danny Trevathan is, if you pull up the sheet right here, I think it's Todd Davis, who was an undrafted guy who's bounced around a little bit, and he's going to step in for Danny Trevathan, which I think is a huge loss. Danny Trevathan was that really athletic, will linebacker who covered a lot of ground that Brandon Marshall as the middle linebacker. He's still back. So they missed those two spots, but they still got Von Miller. They still got Wolf. They still got DeMarcus Ware, and they still got those two great corners, Chris Harris and Akeem Talib. So that defense is still going to be really good. I don't know if it's going to be as good as last year because they're missing some key pieces, but it's still going to be one of the best in the NFL.
I'm looking forward to watching DeMarcus Ware and how they're going to use him. You know, there was a lot of talk about DeMarcus Ware being a situational player only now to get him through the year because he had back issues last year that affected him, almost kind of kept him out of the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But he was able to play. So You know, he's a great player, but it takes a lot of discipline as a coach to not overplay him.
I mean, you hear that he's going to be on a pitch count, talking to some of the people at the Broncos on the field a little bit ago. His back is great. He came through camp great. You and I both know he probably didn't do much. And this is going to be the first real action where there's going to be a lot of strain. And when you get in big moments, big games, and this is going to be an emotional place tonight. They're doing the unveiling of the banner, and they have all three Super Bowl teams here and a bunch of past greats. And so you know the crowd's going to be revved up, and you get, you're playing against the team to beat the Super Bowl, and that's the concern you have. Can you hold back a guy like DeMarcus Ware if it's a tight game and, you know, he wants to get more reps and, you know, you're a coach and it's close, you want to play? I think they're going to be smart with it, because then you have to view a guy like DeMarcus Ware over a, you know, a 16-game regular season and count on getting the playoffs to make sure he's there at the end when you need him most.
What's the result tonight, Tony? Who gets it done?
I'm going to go with the Panthers. I mean, they got the better quarterback, reigning NFL MVP. They got Kelvin Benjamin back, a receiver. Devin Funches, the other second-year receiver out of Michigan, is a big guy, had an outstanding training camp for him. I'm not going to go with Trevor Siemian. Sorry, can't do it.
That's easy enough.
Yeah, I would have picked the Panthers, whether it had been Trevor Siemian.
Siemian,
or if it had been Mark Sanchez. I mean, I would have been the same pick, because you can't. First of all, Mark Sanchez would not have had a great night just because he's Mark Sanchez. But then Siemian, how many snaps has he had in the National Football League?
He had a kneel down last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like one.
Yeah, that's not good. Oh, sorry, Pat.
You think that's not going to help you with experience when Ely and Short and Lely, whatever his name is.
What? Whoa! Wait, there's not a pronunciation guy.
I gotta get that one right before I go on air. I'm glad I screwed that up with you guys. But Luke Kuechly, the rest of those boys coming after you, I think it'd be a little different story.
What's the number of that guy you're talking about?
Yeah, Star. I'm just going to call him Star.
Star Lotulelei.
Star Lotulelei, number 93, right?
Star Lotulelei.
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 He had his cousin on our team for like 2 years.
Lotulelei. I was practicing on you guys.
Well, you had practice a couple years ago, like JP said. His cousin played here.
That's a good point, yeah.
And you messed it up then, too, Tony.
Probably. Listen, let's not get too carried away there, Mr. Longman. You were for sure to butcher a few this year.
Oh, of course. You know, I'm always good for one or two. You're good for one or two a week.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Be here all night.
Tony, we're going to let you go, I guess, and get ready for the kickoff tonight. What time's kick, Tony?
It is 6:40 Mountain Time, so 8:40 East Coast.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Now we'll have time to get home, you know, get a little dinner.
I'm going to talk to a little so later.
Yeah.
You'll have time to go over the pronunciation guide, Tony. That's positive.
I'm going to talk to him.
Hey, how's the weather out there in Denver?
Perfect. Like, just absolutely perfect. No humidity, 70 degrees, no wind. It's just gorgeous. Blue sky. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's your old home week for you, Tony. That's where you're from.
It is.
Originally.
So. Where I grew up. These are the old stomping grounds.
No doubt.
I'm looking forward to it. This place is going to be rocking tonight. It'll be a lot of fun. Opening night. Hey, boys, football is back. The real deal is back.
Thank goodness. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here this weekend.
And by the way, congratulations on your boys' victory Monday night.
Yeah, we cheered hard on the sideline.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah, okay. I joke with him. You'll get a kid. He goes, Dad, I don't really like him. I don't like watching football on the sidelines. I said, well, better do something about it then. Otherwise, you better get used to it. Either get used to it or change it.
Right. That's the way it works. Tony, we'll talk to you this weekend.
Looking forward to it.
There he is, Tony Vaselli from Sports Authority Field at Mile High, I guess is what it's still called, for the NFL kickoff game tonight, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos.
It'd be interesting to see what the ratings are. Oh, you know, I mean, with the Super Bowl rematch to see how they end up.
Oh, it's going
to
be huge, I think.
I hope so. You would think so. I mean, the NFL is just – the drawing power is huge on television.
Yeah. We're going to come back in a moment and talk more Jaguars-Packers. We'll get to the Jags offense. What do they have to do to get something going against this Packers defense?
Here's what you have to do.
What do I have to do?
In this break. Okay, go get a hot tea. okay?
I'm not sick, bro.
You know, your pipes are starting to fade on me, JP, okay? Okay, you got to freshen them up. Get a little tea in you.
I got to read this first. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio. Kick off the season by cooling off on September 10th at Adventure Landing Shipwreck Island Water Park from 11 to 3. Buy your ticket online using promo code JAGS for a special fan price of $20. That includes an appearance by the roar of the Jaguars.
You need me to help you out with those? You know, save your pipes. We got about a half an hour to go.
Oh, I thought you meant with the Adventure Landing. I'll be good for that. Water park, I'm good.
I don't think you should get in the water. You don't sound like you're healthy enough to get in the water. Huh?
Yeah, I'm healthy.
Let me put my other ear on because I can't hear Joe.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe's trying to talk to me. I'm on the air. I don't know what's going on. There's three people talking. I'm not sick. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I just sound terrible.
I'm just checking.
That's okay. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We just heard from Tony Vaselli out in Denver. You know, this Jaguars offense, you got to hold on to the football here, right? And you got to score when you have your opportunity against this Green Bay team. The best place for Aaron Rodgers to be is on the sideline drinking Gatorade.
Well, I mean, you go back and you look at the Cincinnati game, preseason game number 3. What happened in that game? You know, turnover early in that ball game and all of a sudden set you back. You know, those are the type of things that you can't have happen. Aaron Rodgers is so good, you don't want to give him even more opportunities to be better than he already is. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you don't want to turn the ball over. And that's where Blake Bortles needs to take the big step. You know, 18 interceptions last year. 18. That's too many. Too many. I mean, he has to be better. And from all appearances, he was better in the preseason. His completion percentage was up. And I brought this point up, and I can't remember whether it was here last week or on one of the television shows that we did. Mm-hmm. The most impressive part of Blake Bortles' preseason to me was you looked at that Cincinnati game early on, you're not having great success, and you're starting to feel, okay, we need to make something happen offensively. But did you ever see him make a throw that was questionable, that was trying to force something, that was ill-advised, or anything that would be termed in those categories?
I don't remember that, no.
No, I didn't.
No.
And see, to me, that's a positive.
Yeah, because a year ago, it would have been let's throw into a window,
backed
pick
up.
Six.
Yeah, he would have tried to throw into a tight window, and all of a sudden,
goes,
yeah.
Josh Norman into the end zone waving at him.
Exactly. And I think that will be the single biggest stride that Blake Bortles can make, you know, from last year to this year, taking better care of the football. And I expect that to happen, and it's showed so far. I think he's got a lot of patience. And, you know, the better your weapons get around you too, the less you feel like that you have to do it. And he's now,
yeah.
You know, because now all of a sudden he's got, you know, he's got Hearns, he's got Robinson, he's got Marquise Lee, he's got Brian Walter, he's got Julius Thomas,
yeah.
He's got
backs,
TJ, Chris Ivory, you know, so that helps him. That helps him. And I think it helps his mindset when you have weapons like that, because you heard his press conference this week. He said whether it's option A or C or D or E. How many quarterbacks in the National Football League can say A to D or E?
Well,
not many.
You can say that now, but we haven't seen it in action yet.
No,
I mean,
but JP, we got a pretty good idea now. I mean, last year you had A, B, and C and D, right? I mean, you had Hearnsy, you had the Allen brothers.
Those at 1 and 2, yeah.
You had 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Julius Thomas showed up
late.
At the back end of the year, had what, 5 touchdowns?
Right.
Okay, receiving.
Well, that wasn't a whole year, though. I mean, that's.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
Brian Walters was a staple. Marquise Lee, a little bit, but Brian Walters was a very dependable receiver. 72% target reception rate. How can you not consider him? 72%. That's a reliable receiver. That's a positive. So, I mean, yeah, you would count him as a weapon. You had TJ, and TJ was a rookie. Okay, now you got TJ with competition behind him and a proven veteran guy who's a 1,000-yard rusher in Chris Ivory. I mean, I can't wait to see it.
nothing against Brian Walters, but I'm just going to throw this out here.
Go right ahead.
If you're throwing that often to Brian Walters this year, is that good for this offense? Because there are other players you would think would be more explosive than Brian. Yeah, Brian's going to catch the balls that are thrown to him, but he's your fifth receiver.
Look, there's nothing wrong with moving the chains to Brian Walters. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If there's a package where he is on the field and he gets the ball, that's not a negative. Now, is he as explosive as some others? No. Can Rashad Greene become a part of that? Because he's going to be active on game day. Brian Walters probably will not be active this week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect so. But if Rashad Greene can take that next step up, you know, and, you know, the coaches were asked about him this week. You know, how has he progressed? And they say, well, he's been steady. We're starting to see him make progress this week in practice. But the simple fact is, did you see anything in the preseason that make you go, boy, Rashad Greene has really taken a step up? Not yet.
No, not a lot.
You know, and I expect that he can do that because he's got a kind of a calm, you know, veteran kind of presence about him. And looking forward to watching him touch the ball and punt returns as well.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to be one of those guys that's going to have to step up, as whether it be D, E, or F, or whatever it's going to be. You know, he's got to take some steps up because he's going to be active on game day as a punt returner.
You think Aurelius Ben is up over Walters? You had to pick one to
If Marquise Lee is fine, if Rashad Greene is fine, then I think it would be hard for Brian Walters to be active. Because Aurelius Ben is 220 pounds. He's a better special teams player. You know, until, you know, and I don't think Brian Walters would have to be filling the role of Marquise Lee or Rashad Greene to be active on game day.
Yeah, you got to have him on offense to get him active.
That's right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Or as a returner, but I mean.
Then that's a problem too, because you got a returner out.
But he would be replacing Rashad Greene,
right,
who's a wide receiver also.
Exactly.
So. That's how he gets active.
Is this team going to run the ball like they think they will this year?
I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt, and I think that you're going to have a lot of patience with it at times, you know, because you may be down by 7 points or something, you know, and that's sometimes as a coach, that's where it gets kind of a little bit hard to stick with it, right? You want to get back. You want to get back even. And then we can run the ball again, you know, but sometimes to get even – is through running the football. You know, and I think that's one thing about the Green Bay Packers. They're very patient with their running game. And the reason that they're patient is that they know that if they get to a point in the ball game where, okay, time is now starting to get really short, we have a guy that can play catch-up. And the game film that I watched today, the Minnesota Vikings game, they were down, I think it was 20-3. But they were still sticking with the running game and Eddie Lacy and James Starks, sticking with those two guys, running the football. And then it fell all on Aaron Rodgers when it absolutely had to, where the time just wasn't there for them to stick with running the football. And I think for the Jaguars, that's a challenge for offensive coordinator Greg Olsen. How good is your defense going to be? You know, so there are a lot of questions. You know, I don't have a lot of questions about this Jaguars offense. I don't. I think they're going to perform, and I think they're going to perform very well. You know, the questions for me, the concerns are on defense.
Yeah, a lot of new faces. Like you said in the last show with Gus, 5, 6, 7 new faces depending on the package. And that's a lot of new on a defense. No matter how experienced they are in the league, you still got to play together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, we just got done talking to Tony about the Carolina Panthers are returning like 18 starters.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the Jaguars offensively are returning a lot of starters. They've got a few change in positions as part of that, so I would consider that, you know, a different starter. But the Jaguars defensively, whether you're base, nickel, dime, 5, 6, or 7 players are new in those packages. That's a significant number now.
Big, yep.
Significant number.
How do you do that? And then you're debuting against this Packers
offense.
Well,
and it could be more than that, you know, because if all of a sudden you're going to a second-level rotation on the defensive line.
Then there's a bunch of new faces there, too.
Right? That, there's new ones there as well.
Yeah.
You know, if Sheldon Day gets on the field or whoever, you know, whether it's Prince Mukamura in a package.
And Ngakwe's
Yannick Ngakwe and Dante Fowler, you know, for a rush package. You know, so that's a lot of new faces for a defense. Yeah. And I think that's the great thing about the change in coordinators, and I think it would have been a huge risk to go outside of the building to hire a defensive coordinator for two reasons. One, do you have the time to learn a new system? Number one, you know, you got to have success here. I mean, that's it's pretty obvious. Yeah. But then you don't want to retrain your entire defense that you have, because you're also going to have some new coming in, and at least you have a little bit of continuity with the system being same. I don't want to say exactly the same, similar, because the coaching that you'll get from Todd Walsh and the calls that you get from Todd Walsh are going to be different than Bob Babich. And I'm looking forward to watching Todd Walsh on game day.
That's going
to
be something. He's hasn't called defense, at least at this level, before. So what is his tendency, you know? That'll be interesting to watch.
He's been around it for a long
time.
No
doubt. I'm not saying he can't. It's just something new. We haven't. Nobody's ever really seen it.
No.
What's it going to be? Is it blitzing? Is it different looks? Well, and guys rolling in and out. It's fun.
Well, it's a little bit of a mystery for Mike McCarthy.
That's great. You
know, but Mike McCarthy, I guarantee you what he's doing. He's going back to what Gus Bradley and Todd Walsh were in Seattle. You know, they can go back and they can, you know, you can pull inventory of film from past years at any point in time. I mean, these servers that the NFL, you know, teams have now, I mean, I don't know how far back it goes, but I mean, it holds tons of games. And you can pull film from anywhere. And I'm sure that if it's something that's not available on your own server, they can probably contact, they have like a central headquarters with the league, because that's where all the film exchange happens.
Got it.
And then they can get it from there and pull it back in and evaluate, you know, whoever it is. And so I guarantee you Mike McCarthy has pulled film from when Gus Bradley and Todd Walsh were together.
You can go back to the 2011 Seahawks-Niners game or whatever.
That's right.
Check it out.
And then look back a little bit of what they did last year and kind of, you know, get a kind of a mix of the two. And, you know, look, the Green Bay Packers, a lot of the – That goes back to what Gus Bradley has talked about as far as rules football. You know, Mike McCarthy is going to have some rules football offensively in this ball game, because he may see some things that he didn't expect or he didn't see. And the Green Bay Packers are going to have to be executing rules football.
You talked about it with Gus on the show, Jaguars weekend.
Yeah, exactly what rules football is.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out on Jaguars.com. You were with the head coach and – couple weeks ago, talking about rules ball. We're going to come back and go around the National Football League and pick some games for this weekend. You ready for this? Week one, baby. Let's go.
And the week one's always hard to pick now.
They really are always hard to pick. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name this year, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. City officials today and Jaguars officials had a press conference outside Everbank Field, urging folks to use the Game Day Express and arrive early, at least 2 hours early, to Everbank Field this Sunday. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for details. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, live on Jaguars Radio tonight. Also on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. Wave at everybody. Jeff, hey.
Everybody. I'll give you my parade wave.
That's a good one. Nice.
Yes. You like that?
We need to say happy birthday to Patrick Cavanaugh, the director of broadcasting for the Jaguars. He's back home and is enjoying Jeff's protest of the
happy
can
birthday,
on the
Pat.
New table. So, happy birthday, Patrick. Also, got to mention, you're wearing...
He's the one that does not like drinks on this.
Brand new, nice table here.
High-dollar particle board. And what do you call this stuff?
I don't know, but it yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. You took it off.
That's
good job.
Birthday present.
Happy birthday. You're wearing a Virginia shirt, by the way. You guys got beat by Richmond.
The Richmond Spiders. You know, the Richmond Spiders were actually the very first college that I received a recruiting letter from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What'd you do with that letter?
I didn't save it. No. Yeah, I never saved it. But it was cool, you know, because that was the first letter I got, you know, from a college team. Hmm. And I remember the guy that recruited me from the University of Richmond. He's a super nice guy. and he stuttered. So it was one of those things that just stuck in my mind. But super nice guy. Had a great time talking with him, getting to know him. And I wasn't going to go to the University of Richmond.
Well, then how far along did Virginia come after that?
Not long. I mean, my brother played at the University of Virginia, was a football player, scholarship guy. Well, I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know if I was going to be that good to be able to get a scholarship at the University of Virginia at that point, you know. When my brother goes to Virginia, I was a sophomore in high school. But I was at Firehouse Subs today, and I saw a guy that was representing the University of Virginia very well with his hat. And he's a little older than me. I was class of 89. He's a little bit before that. But it was a pleasure meeting him and a friend of his who were having dinner there at Firehouse Subs there on San Jose.
The Hoos are taking over Duval County, I guess.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. That's overselling it.
I can tell you what I took over this afternoon was I crushed one of those big, large Italians. They don't even have to ask me what I want when I go in.
Oh, you're regular, huh?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
Large Italian.
You got a tab running for
you? No onions, extra vinegar.
You walk in, logs! The whole place yells at you.
Well, they always say hi. Welcome to Firehouse, right?
I think they do.
That was good.
Let's look around the National Football League. The San Diego Chargers are not optimistic that Joey Bosa will play week one. He's got like a hamstring injury or something. The question, though, is will he be ready for week two when the Jaguars go out there?
Well, maybe, maybe not. But, I mean, the San Diego Chargers got nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, offering a contract that wasn't in line with the other draft picks that were drafted right around him. And that's the history of the San Diego Chargers. And the way that they kind of conducted business in the media, I thought was a poor job. I would add something to that poor part, but I didn't want to use that terminology.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
Not a very good job by the San Diego Chargers.
Well, the Jaguars will see them next week. The Vikings will name a starting quarterback Sunday officially. They'll have it, of course, before then, but they'll announce it Sunday. Would you go Hill or Bradford?
Hill. I mean, Hill's got more experience. You know, Sam Bradford can't walk in the door and learn a system in 8 or 9 days. It's just not possible. Not to be effective, and you would be limited as far as the packages that you could run. If it's Peyton Manning, I think even a Peyton Manning would have a hard time executing somebody else's offense. Now, if Peyton Manning walks in the door and it's the same system he had been in, no problem. You know, but that's, you know, snap counts are different. Terminology is different a lot of times. The way you call plays is completely different. The way you describe defensive personnel could be different. So a lot of times a quarterback's walking in the door like that, and he's speaking Russian, and they're speaking English.
That's a problem.
Or Chinese, you know, and French, whatever you want to call it, you know. It's different.
Those are different languages.
Very different.
Last I checked. The Seahawks are apparently planning a pregame demonstration of unity. Doug Baldwin tweeted it out Thursday. Here's the full tweet. To express a desire to bring people together, our team will honor the country and flag in a pregame demonstration of unity. What do you make of all this national anthem kneeling down?
So what does he mean by that? What is he going to do?
That's the question. Nobody knows.
Okay.
He has not elaborated beyond that, but it sounds like more of a full team type of demonstration of some kind.
Well,
I mean, everybody's got their right to do it, right?
You know, I think that's the one thing that people really appreciate about sports is that it's a break from politics. It's a break from negative thoughts. You know, and people want to go there because it's just football or it's just baseball or if it's just soccer. You know, so, you know, I think it's hard sometimes when people see that you know, the politics or whatever kind of roll over into what is their love, their passion, or their viewing pleasure. They don't like it. And I get it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. It's a free country.
That's right.
Because, you know, and with some of the things that Kaepernick has done, I would like to ask him, you know, if you don't like it here, where else do you think is better? Answer me that, Cap.
I don't know. I mean, but you have the right to do it. People have the
right
to voice their displeasure with it as
Absolutely.
Well. That's what comes with that.
Absolutely do.
So it will go on and on for a little while, I'm sure. You ready to pick some games now, Jeff? Lighten it up in here a little bit.
Like I said, the first week is not easy to pick.
That's why I want to do this, because you're going to hammer all of these.
All right.
Carolina at Denver tonight.
Carolina.
You already picked that one.
Are we going to keep track? Are we recording this?
I think we are. Yeah, we'll go back and keep. Yeah.
Okay.
See how this does. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
That's a good one now.
Like Smith, his old team.
You know, and I watched the film of Atlanta's defense this year, kind of leading up to the preseason game. I'm taking Tampa. I was not impressed with Atlanta on defense whatsoever.
Tampa on the road. They got Cecil Shorts now, by the way. Tampa.
1 year deal.
Yeah. Buffalo at Baltimore.
I'm taking Baltimore just because I can't pick Rex Ryan.
Had a lot going on up there, it seems like. They always have something going on in Buffalo, like some outside store. Something's going on, you know?
You know, and, you know, if I was being real, I would probably take Buffalo, but I'm just not picking Rex Ryan. I'm not.
So you're not going to pick him all year?
I might not. Yeah, I might not. Unless they play the Browns.
Well, true. They're going to be terrible this year. What's the deal against Rex? What do you got?
He just kills himself with his mouth, you know? I mean, as a coach, you know, you're supposed to make the focus be about team. And Rex Ryan has an interesting way of not making it about team, about making it about drawing attention to himself. And to me, that's, you know, if I was an owner in the National Football League, he would be the last coach that's currently coaching in the National Football League that I would hire.
Harsh. You're harsh, man.
No, I'm not harsh. Yeah. I'm being honest.
Okay, it's fair. A little harsh.
I can't think of anybody else that I would put behind him in the pecking order of my coach wish list. And I love John Harbaugh.
Yeah,
I think he's a great coach. And he's professional. He's very good with his players. Him and Ozzie Smith have done a marvelous job in
Ozzie
Baltimore.
Ozzie Newsom.
Ozzie
Smith played shortstop for the Cardinals.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. The Wizard of Oz. Let's pick some more games here. Chicago at Houston.
I'll take Chicago.
On the road.
Yeah, I'll take Chicago.
Bulls on parade, not for long.
A lot of new components, a lot of unknowns with the Houston Texans. J.J. Watt, you know, didn't play in the preseason. They got a new quarterback. Who's going to run the football for him? Who's going to block for him?
Yep.
Left tackle still not ready to go.
Center's out for the year.
Yeah, I'll take Chicago.
San Diego at Kansas City.
Taking Kansas City.
At Arrowhead. I like it.
Yeah, Kansas City, first off, Andy Reid's done a really good job with them. He's getting everything he can out of them. And San Diego, I think, is a mess.
Jags will see the Chargers week two. Oakland at New Orleans.
It's an interesting game. There's going to be a lot of points either way.
Yep.
You know, Drew Brees, you know, he's got until, what, Sunday to get a new contract?
I think he just got it.
He did?
They agreed to it, yes.
Today?
Or maybe today, yes.
Okay.
I think it's done.
I didn't see that.
I believe it's done.
Buried in the film room. That's a good game, though. That's a good game. You know, I don't know who I'd pick in that one, but
You better pick somebody quick.
Well, I'm not going to pick Del Rio. I'll take the Saints.
There you go. All right, let's get through the rest of these pretty quickly here. Cincinnati at the Jets.
Cincinnati.
All day. Cleveland at Philly. Philly.
Philly.
Minnesota at Tennessee.
Well, wait a minute. Now, we got the rookie starting in Philly, but I'm still taking
it's Cleveland.
Okay, what's the next game?
Minnesota at Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee.
At home, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Miami at Seattle.
Seattle.
Long trip for the Dolphins.
Long trip back.
Giants at Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Giants. I just can't imagine a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back having great success.
Yeah, even though Dak had a great preseason.
How about Ezekiel Elliott talking about he's going to break the rookie rushing record by Eric Dickerson?
Yeah, Tate.
I mean, come on.
Relax over there, okay?
Why?
Relax.
Why even say that?
Relax, Zeke. All right, the rest of these. Detroit at Indy.
Detroit.
New England at Arizona.
New England.
Two Monday night games. Pittsburgh at Washington.
Pittsburgh.
The Rams at San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Oh, easy now.
San Francisco.
Blaine train.
I'm going with Blaine Gabbert.
Jaguars host the Packers. Can they get it done in week one?
I'm hoping for a highly competitive game. I think they can get it done. They don't have to play a perfect game, but they need to play well. Very well.
Hopefully they will. That would be
awesome.
I think
awesome. They win. And it would be great because what is it? When's the last home opener
The last opener
win?
Period win was 2011.
Yeah, but you go back to a home win.
It might have been the home one.
I think it's going all the way back to, what, 07?
Well done. We'll see you Sunday. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.